The book of Luke chapter 17, and the text is verse 16. Verse 16 of Luke chapter 17, and we read here about this Samaritan, and fell down on his face at his, that's Christ's feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we do thank thee for this chorus we've been singing. And many of us can thank you tonight for the wonderful gift of salvation. Help us as we think of this story in scripture. Apply it to us. Make it live. Make it real, we pray, in our Savior's name. Amen. A Samaritan leper who received double cleansing. A Samaritan leper who received double cleansing. An amazing story. 2 weeks ago, we thought of Naaman, a great military commander, servant of the king, close to the king. And he became a leper. And we thought about how he was cured of his leprosy, going down 7 times in the River Jordan. Last week, we thought of the sister of Moses and Aaron. Remember, all three of them are said in the book of Micah to have led the children of Israel out of Egypt. Her name is mentioned along with Moses and Aaron. And she became a leper for a week. Judgment upon her. I thought of this passage because it's more than one man or one woman. It's 10 men at once. Think of it. What a miracle. Very few lepers were ever cleansed. But here the Lord Jesus Christ, through his miraculous power, cleansed 10 lepers. But in the story, in the verse we read, you have a wonderful example of the need to be thankful to the Lord. The need to be thankful to the Lord. 9 did not return. Where are the 9? The Savior said. Only 1 returned, and he was a Samaritan. Samaritans were hated. Samaritans were looked upon as Gentile dogs, and yet the Samaritan came back to a Jew, the Lord Jesus Christ, and gave him thanks. But I think one of the prominent things about this man is obviously his thankfulness, but secondly, I believe he was the only one of the 10 who received a double cure, And we'll point that out. Notice all 10 sought the same thing. All 10 sought the same thing. Cleansing. They were lepers. Verse 12 tells us that. He entered into a certain village and he met him 10 men that were lepers which stood afar off. So all 10 of them had this disease of leprosy and they stood afar off. You know what that tells you? They knew they were lepers. You say, well, that's obvious. Of course you'd know you had it. Well, just follow it. I think they knew they had it. You see, obviously in this story, you have a parallel with spiritual leprosy. Because often in scripture, the physical disease of leprosy is taken as a picture, an illustration of our souls. Our souls. All our righteousness is filthy rags. Isaiah 1, from the head to the foot, we're full of putrefying sores. Can't be bound up. Can't be stopped. Ulcers flowing. You say, why, how's that leprosy? Because the leprosy in the Bible covered different skin diseases. Leviticus chapter 13 and 14. Now, some experts, Dr. Bill Woods, of course, our own missionary from one of our churches who's been 50 years working among the leprosy problem there in the Amazon, has been received great accolades and awards, an award from Her Majesty the Queen for his work. The highest awards of any doctor in Brazil because of his work among leprosy, almost eradicating that disease from a whole vast state of Brazil. And I'm privileged to know him, as some of you had, to travel with him for 2 weeks some years ago around leprosariums over in Cameroon and to visit works we were associated with as well. And I drove him for the 2 weeks. If you've ever seen Bill driving, you'll see why. Not that my driving is anything to write home about, But anyway, what time of fellowship? I still remember that time some years ago, and of course we talked about leprosy. Now, most scholars and most doctors do not believe that what was known in modern days as leprosy was not exactly the same disease. From the Bible description, it was some type of skin disease that was ulcers that produced raised ulcerous sores that oozed with pus that was repulsive. It started off very small with a white or a yellow spot. And in those days, the priest was almost like a doctor. The man or woman had to go to the priest, and the priest would look and have 7 days to check it out and so on. And there were rules in Leviticus 13. Is it really leprosy or is it not? If the priest pronounced after those days, it is leprosy, they were taken away. They had to go. They had to go. Because if they didn't go, they were forced to go. Away from their family, away from religious worship. They weren't allowed to mix with other people. And they had to stand afar off. And that's why in verse 12, that's very significant. They stood afar off. They wouldn't come close. So what I'm saying is they recognized that they had a need. They weren't covering it up. They recognized they had a need. And they recognized that they had to stay away. You see, this is where they cry, even in medieval United Kingdom. Even in Ireland, medieval, there was a disease that people equated with leprosy, called it leprosy. And even in those days, people had bales. You ever read about it in the Middle Ages, crying, unclean, unclean, wearing a veil over their face, men and women. It was common in those days. Some of you know Carrick Fergus. Maybe you've seen the castle that was built by Fergus from Scotland. The reason he came to Carrick Fergus across from Scotland was to try and drink from the well that's there where the castle is now, because the land juts out and there's a freshwater well. That's where they built the castle. And it was believed that if you drank that water, you could be cured of leprosy. That's why he came there. And he decided then to build a castle, Carrick Fergus, the Rock of Fergus. And a lot of you drive through the town, that's where it came from. There was leprosy. If you ever go into St. Nicholas Church, it's a historic church in Carrick, you can see, if you go on a tour of it, there's a tourist attraction. The church is there 900 years, and you can see where in ancient times in the 1200s they had slits in a wall with a room, and the lepers were allowed to come as far as the slits on the wall and look in, but they weren't allowed to come in. And they point that out, a guide will show you. That's where lepers used to come. So what I'm just saying is probably not what was in the Bible, but a similar thought. Stand afar off. They're away. And of course the disease is horror, terror, because you know how it destroys the nerve endings, and it can lead to fingers going and the toes going. Sometimes the eyes can go, and you know that Dr. Bill Woods for many years has operated up and down the Amazon and the tributaries restoring eyesight by working on the muscles. So men can go blind. They can lose their noses. It can affect their speech, because usually the larynx goes, the voice box. And it's a raspy sound, one of the signs of leprosy. And of course, death. A death sentence. A leper had a walking death sentence. But you see, that is an illustration of sin. Don't miss that in this story. Don't miss that in Scripture. It's quite clearly an illustration of sin. And how many there are say, but I'm not a spiritual leper. I don't do anything wrong. I live a good life. I'm good. I do the best I can. But do we keep the law all the time? In everything we say, in everything we do, in everything we think? As we said this morning, if you continue not in all the law, guilty. Oh, I know you could cover it up. Some people are not as, you see some lepers and the fingers are missing. I've seen it. Not just in pictures, I've seen it. And you say, well, that person's a lot of leprosy. But you know, up here on your arm, where nobody sees it, there could be the spots. You have it. It's there. And human nature is good at covering it up. Oh, I'm not like that person over there. My, look at that. Fingers missing. So on, so on. Oh, I'm not like that. But you see, every human being has the same disease called the leprosy of sin. It's working. And it spreads, and it brings death. So they knew they were lepers. They didn't try to hide it. That's the point. They didn't try to hide it. And of course, one of the first steps to salvation, we could say, is confessing our need. And they confessed their need because they cried out in verse 13. We're thinking of what these 10 lepers sought. Have mercy. Have mercy. They couldn't demand anything from Christ. Mercy. Mercy is what we don't deserve. Certainly the Samaritan couldn't, because the Samaritans were hated by the Jews. It's interesting, by the way, that a Samaritan was among the other 9. I believe there were Jews. Seems that way. And of course, when you're in extreme sickness, racial barriers and enemy, that disappears. They were together in a group, cut off from society. But they cried out for mercy. They believed only Christ could cure them. They believed that was their only hope. Doctors couldn't cure them. The priests couldn't cure them. Only Christ. So they cry out for mercy. And look what the Lord tells them in verse 14. When Christ saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Now, maybe you're a bit surprised at that. Well, why did Christ not? There's another leper came, I think it's in Mark 1, and he just healed him right then. Why did the Lord tell him to go to the priest? This seems a strange thing. Now, the priest couldn't cure them. But you see, they were living under the Jewish law. And the Old Testament law in Leviticus 13 and 14 was this. Any leper could not go back into society, could not go back to their family, could not go into the place of worship until they had gone to the priest. And the priest had examined their body to look for any signs. He would give a few days, examine again, and then the priest, almost like a doctor, would say, he's clear of the disease. They had to have the word. Now, can you see where the faith comes in this verse then? Because Christ said, go to the priest. You would only go to the priest if you were cleansed. But these men had leprosy. But you see, they took Christ at his word. This is a wonderful picture of what it means to have saving faith in Christ. It's an illustration. They believed. And they obeyed. And when they believed, when they trusted and obeyed, and they began to set off to go to the priest in the temple, you know, so can you just imagine the scene? Read between the lines. I don't mean read into scripture what's not there. I don't mean that, but this is bound to have happened. Because it says here, as they were going, they were cleansed. See that in verse 14. Here they are setting off, going to the priest, but sure, we're lepers, he'll chase us away. And as they began to obey the Lord, oh, look, your skin's suddenly clean. I don't even know if fingers were restored or not, or toes, or I don't know. But they must have looked at each other. You've changed. What's happened? No wonder did one of them say, have I changed? Something's happened. We're cleansed. We're healed. A miracle has taken place. That's what the Bible says there. As they were going. What a picture of saving faith. What is it to be saved? It is to recognize you're a sinner. Only Christ can save you. Obey the gospel and trust him. Repent and believe. And as you do that, Christ will save you and heal you. So this first message then. What was sought by all 10 lepers? But I want you to think now, what was spoken by the one leper? What was spoken by the one leper? Look at it in verse 15 and 16. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And there's this bit added. And can you imagine the Pharisees hearing this? He was a Samaritan. They wouldn't even speak to a Samaritan. They would cross the street to get away from them. The only one that came back was a Samaritan. And what did he say? Well, he said a lot with his mouth and also with his actions. Isn't this tremendous? With a loud voice, he glorified God. You know what that tells me? Publicly, he praised God for his healing. He didn't just say, you know, I've been healed, but I'll not tell anybody. He shouted with a loud voice, I'm healed. Glory to God. I'm cured. Must have been a bit like Billy Bray. You remember Billy Bray? Have you ever read about him? No, you don't know him. He died years ago. But they say about Billy Bray, the Cornish miner, he was always praising and shouting. And somebody says, well, put you in a barrel to keep you quiet. He says, I'll push out the bunghole and shout glory through it. They couldn't stop him rejoicing that he was saved. And he's praising God. Praising God because he felt it. See, with a loud voice, that's a tremendous expression. The loud voice, because you know what I think it's saying? One of the symptoms of leprosy is your voice. Someone with leprosy, they can't speak that voice. It's hoarse. They can make a sound. Sometimes the voice goes completely. But you would know by the way a leper speaks that the disease is affecting his voice box. Ah, but this man's voice, his voice has changed. He cries with a loud voice. It's very interesting, that terminology, by the way. You know it. Phonos, megas. Greek put it the other way around from us. Megaphone. You ever heard the word megaphone? Well, you look at your Bible, loud voice. That's what it is in the original. Only it's the other way around. Phonos, megas. Megaphone. He's shouting like a megaphone, lifting up his voice, and he's praising God. And I'll never forget being in Cameroon. I know I've told some of you this some years ago, but when I went with Bill around some of the churches or the hospitals, a lot of the leprosariums did not have the same numbers as they used to have because of medication. The disease was no longer contagious. So we went to some where there were only a few buildings there. Of course, they told us that not so many decades ago, the police would have regularly gone round villages in the Cameroon to check if anyone had any signs of leprosy, and they did. The police would take them away forcibly and put them in the leprosarium away from their family. Remember Bill telling me when he first went to the Amazon, there was a big leprosarium where he visited to treat the people. And you know what it had in Portuguese? Abandon hope, all who enter here. That's what it was like. Oh, I'm nearly feeling like starting to tell you some of the stories. Maybe you've heard Bill telling him about them, about that great singer, opera singer who took the leprosy and came in, and he visited with her in Brazil and so on. But not go down all those lines. Tremendous stories. But then we were in Cameroon. I'll never forget one time. I'll not forget it for this reason, because the guide, he was a Cameroonian pastor, Bill and I, and I was driving, but he came to show the way, and you had to carry your passport everywhere. And we went into this place, and there were all lepers at that part, but we came back a different way and we'd gone outside the city limits without knowing it, and there was a roadblock with the police, and they're not as nice and kind as the police here. Now, right, all the policemen, but anyway, some policemen here, nice and kind. When we pulled up, "Where's your passport?" It was in French. Bill knew French. We didn't. He looked through to me and, "That's a nice pen you've got." Oh, right. But anyway, we got through. But get back to the story. Better get back to the message. We went in and we pulled up here, and even the pastor was a little bit wary of the lepers that were there. Although Bill assured me there's no contamination. It's not contagious. But they hit this metal bar with another metal bar, and out of little huts, people came. I remember the woman, no nose. I'd seen that in New Guinea for other reason, lady in the village where we live, no nose at all, eaten away with a leprosy. There's a man, couldn't even walk anymore, like a little, we'd call it a guider growing up. You know what I mean? Wee thing with wheels, pulling himself along. And went into the church, and they're singing in French. I knew the tune. "Count your many blessings, name them one by one." That's what they were singing. Because they told us there Bill could speak in French, and he had to speak there. He made me speak everywhere else, that through an interpreter to the language people, but he could speak to them. And my, the joy. And many of them told through an interpreter to me how they'd come to know Christ. They were rejoicing, these people who had leprosy, with spiritual cleansing. And here's this man, to get back to the passage here, he's praising God. He's thrilled and he's thanking God. Do we keep thanking him? Do we keep praising him? We ought to be full of praise. One commentator said they prayed loudly for deliverance, but there's only one praised loudly. There ought to be more praise among Christians. But not only did he praise, look at verse 16, his actions. He fell at his feet. Now that's a tremendous verse. We had the JWs at the door yesterday. And I was telling them I was doing a series in the Bible class on Jehovah Jesus. Jesus Christ isn't Jehovah. I said, of course he is. People worshipped him. No, they didn't. Listen, this man fell at Jesus' feet.
He glorified God and he fell at Christ's feet. Of course every Jew and Samaritan knew you do not worship anyone but God. I believe this leper knew Jesus Christ is the Lord. He's God. He's falling at his feet. He's giving thanks. You see, I believe what he's doing here is at a distance. He stood afar off when he had the leprosy. Now he's at the Savior's feet and he's down on his face with humility before the Lord. He's there in humility. And I believe what this is teaching, all this, what was spoken by this one leper, it's not simply praise, yes, thanks, yes, submission to Christ, but at his feet, I believe without a shadow of a doubt that this one leper wanted a relationship with Christ. The other nine didn't return to give thanks. This man wanted a spiritual cleansing. So you have the what was sought by the 10 lepers, what was spoken by the one leper. Let's think just briefly, what was shown by the 9 lepers? You see, there were 9 others who were cured, but they didn't return. What does that show? Well, it shows they were thoughtless. Thoughtless. Think of it, a death sentence. Away from their families, away from society, and they've just been cured. And they don't even think of coming back to thank the Savior for what had happened. Thoughtless. Do we always thank the Lord for his blessings? Do we just take for granted, those of us who are saved, what's happened? Are we still thankful? They were thoughtless, and of course, they were thankless. They were thankless. They didn't thank. We ought to thank God because they were reminded on Friday night the brevity of life and the uncertainty of life and even being here in the land of the living, how we ought to thank God. Do you know in Romans 1, unthankfulness, neither were thankful, is a sign of the pagan heart, of a heart that's turned away from God. Romans 1. Do you know over in Paul wrote to Timothy and he said in the last days of apostate days, one of the signs the last day is of children unthankful to parents. Unthankful isn't just something you smile about, or it's a serious sin to be unthankful before God. But what do these 9 show? What do these 9 show? Well, you know what I believe it shows? Yes, they receive cleansing and healing, but they'd no interest in the state of their soul. That's what it shows. Oh, no doubt they ran back to the priest, and the priest would have looked and said, this is amazing, you're cured. And they would have ran back to their families, nothing wrong with that. They would have gone back to their business. They would have gone back to their normal life. But they don't take time to thank Christ or to come and fellowship with him and seek him. They're just I've been cured, I'll just get on with life now. And the Lord asked certain questions that are absolutely tremendous. Just look quickly at them here. He asked certain questions. Because when he came in his face, look what happened in verse 17. Were there not 10 cleansed? Not a good question. Of course, the answer is yes, isn't it? It's a rhetorical question. Were there not 10 that were cleansed? Yes. Yes. But where are the 9? And the question's left hanging. Where are the 9? There's no answer. They've no desire to come and to praise the Lord. Where are they? Where are they? They're missing. They're missing. And then verse 18. There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And the word there's a foreigner of a different race. Can you imagine the Pharisees been absolutely furious? Master asks, where's the 9? And I believe from that it's insinuating they were Jews. And the only one is this of another race, a foreigner. He's come. You know what's happening here? I believe the Lord is rebuking the Pharisees and the Jewish people who saw his miracles, who heard his parables, who heard him preach, and who would not repent. They would not admit that they had a need. They were self-righteous. They were proud. We are God's people. We don't need salvation. That's for the sinners. That's not for us. And they did not confess their need, and therefore there was no salvation for them. And this, well, it's an actual happening. You see, this man, I said, had a double cleansing. Where do I get that from? Look at verse 19. Christ said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Now, think about that. The Bible's already said in verses before they were healed. What's this talking about? You see that word translated whole? It's not the same word that's used earlier in the passage. Not the same word at all. See verse 15, when he saw he was healed. It's not the same word at all. It's not the same word for cleansed. It's the word that's often translated saved. Good Bible word. Exactly the same word. In Luke 7 verse 50 it says of a woman, she was forgiven of her sins and saved. Sometimes it's translated made whole. And I have not a shadow of a doubt that it's not referring to the cleansing of the leprosy. I believe it refers to the cleansing of a soul. He was saved. He had spiritual cleansing. Onan had physical healing, but had no desire to come for spiritual healing. But this Samaritan, when he received the physical healing, his heart was broke. And I already said, he comes back and he falls in the dust at the Savior's feet. And the Savior said, where's the other nine? This man's been made whole. He's saved. He received the double cleansing. And of course, it's the cleansing of the soul that really matters, that really matters. You see, so many of the Jews, they liked to see the Lord's miracles. They liked the free bread in John 6. You remember there was thousands, 5,000 were fed, men plus others, and they came back the next day. You know what the Lord said to them in so many words? You want the free bread? At the end of the chapter, they all went away except his 12 disciples. You can get a crowd when you offer things. When you offer entertainment, when you offer physical healing, and by the way, I don't believe in faith healing, all this stuff today. I believe God heals, by the way, divine healing, of course I do. But all this stuff today. But you offer that, or you'll get the crowds. You'll get the crowds, all right. And it's the same attitude today. It's the same attitude in many evangelical places. How do we get people in? How do we fill your church? Give them what they want. Let's change the music and let's make it really rock music so that we'll get younger people in, and let's have something that people will, a thrill and entertainment, and we'll make them feel at home and don't make them feel bad, and we'll not talk about sin and we'll not talk about repentance and we'll not talk about the need of salvation and really sold out to Christ and surrender and giving up the old life and things you have to turn from. Don't mention those things because you'll only have a small group. And that's the attitude in many places, even in so-called evangelical places. You see, nine, they did receive a true physical healing. They were genuinely healed. Christ did it. But they didn't come back for the spiritual healing. I'll never forget when I, many, many years ago, early 80s, just back from New Guinea, a neighbor of ours came along to the church where I was pastoring. I remember she went into hospital, went to visit her. Remember going into the ward, still remember it. Oh, Mr. Johnson, great to see me. You know, a few years ago, I was in hospital and such a minister, he came and he laid hands on me in the bed and he touched me and laid hands. That's what he does. He's a healer, you know. Not just, you know, a pastor going, holding someone's hand, praying. Nothing like that. He lays hands on people. He's got this gift of healing. And he came and he touched me. I could feel this going through my body. And I got out of hospital. Now, could you please contact him and phone him up and ask him to come in and visit me? Well, I'm not really a harsh man, but you know what I said? No. No. And I knew your name. I said, listen, if you want me to pray for you and read, I'll do that. And I do pray that God will be pleased to raise you up from your sickbed. But listen, far, far more important is you need to be saved. You need to be saved. Oh, she wanted a minister who claims to have the gift of healing. I don't believe it. But remember a neighbor of ours, he used to go on a Thursday and they tell me crowds came. He and another man would lay hands on people. He says, oh, we'll just leave a basket at the door. We don't charge them. But and I remember saying to him, brother, how many of the people come through on a Thursday night are saved? Do you get talking about their soul? Oh, well, there's so many waiting, but don't really have opportunity to talk much about their salvation. What? What's that all about? The greatest need somebody has. Oh, yes, now, by the way, I'm not harsh. Of course, we long and we pray in our prayer meetings, and our heart goes out to those who are getting treatment or in pain, and as Christians we ought to be compassionate, of course. But the greatest need is your soul. The greatest need is your soul. You see, that same person one week in the church, I've told you before, she went out of the meeting, and during the week she saw my wife. You know what she said, Mrs. Johnson? On Sunday night as your husband was preaching, I just felt so burdened that I felt I couldn't really get home. I wanted to speak to him and come to Christ. And I was so concerned that at the last hymn, I rushed out and went round to Carrick Ranger Social Club to get a drink to make me forget about it. So that was the lady that said to me, would you call up this faith healer to come? I said, no, I can't do that. You need to be saved. Jeff Thomas, we had him preach here a while ago. He made a comment and he wrote this. He had a friend in the ministry who was very, very systematic. And for decades in his church, he kept records of people he had been asked to go to the hospital and pray with. You know, friends of those in the church, others he knew. And he reckoned he'd gone to as many as 2,000, prayed with them in the hospital. Many of them had recovered. Then he began to think how many of those started to come to the church and went on consistently to worship the Lord. 2. Does that shock you? 2. Because how many? It's just physical. Now, of course, by the way, don't misunderstand me. If you're ill in hospital, we'll be there. Just let us know and I'll be there as soon as I can, and we'll be praying. And you know this church will be praying. And you know we do pray for healing. But this faith healing, but this, what I'm saying is, the reverse of that is there's people who are not saved. And oh, they'll be so concerned, and they'll ask the Lord, Lord, raise me up from this bed of sickness. And then they're raised up. There's not a thought. There's not a thought about spiritual. There's not a thought about the soul. And that's what makes this story so sad. 10 sought the healing. What the one spoke, thanks, fell at the Savior's feet. What the 9 showed, all they wanted was material things, outward things. Oh, no doubt they continued to be religious, synagogue going, but they had no true salvation. Christ just healed them by giving a command, but to heal spiritual leprosy, it cost him to go all the way to Calvary and shed his precious blood. It cost to deliver us from sin. Can we turn to 334, please? 334, as we close, that leper came back and he fell on his face at the feet of Christ. Have you done that? Have you fallen and asked at his feet and asked him to save you?